Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Hey, I want to start off by reading the culture. We heard it just now in news, but we're going to read it again. It says this. It says, we are about wholeness. Everyone say wholeness. Wholeness, we are committed to pursuing personal growth. Amen. Wholeness and seeing Christ transform us from the inside out. Maybe you've joined Nations recently. Maybe this is all new to you. Or maybe you've been around a little time and you know exactly that every year we try and dedicate time in our preaching calendar specifically to the outworking of this very culture. And the big reason behind that is we believe that the goal of our discipleship is that we would look like Jesus. Who knows the mandate of this house is lost, found, disciples made, nations reached. And you might go, yes, all the lost out there, all the disciples that need to be made out there. But no, it's not just disciples made out there. It's disciples made right now, right here. Disciples made in here. We are those disciples. And the goal is that we would be transformed into the likeness and image of Jesus. The goal is not just to have great community and great friends and feel good about ourselves, although that is wonderful, but the scriptural goal of discipleship is to be transformed into his likeness. And you might, when you hear that saying, transformed into the likeness and image of Jesus, it's not about growing our hair long and wearing sandals. I mean, you can if you want to, but it's not what the scripture had in mind. You know, when it says to be transformed into the likeness and image of Jesus, talking about a work on the inside of us, not the outside of us, you know, that we would actually love like Jesus, that we would actually treat others like Jesus, that we would carry peace like Jesus, that we would look like him in all these ways. And if that's the goal, well, then we can all probably agree that in order to achieve that, something needs to change in here. It's a work of wholeness in our hearts to be transformed from the inside out. The good news is that wholeness is available. It's available to us in and through Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus comes announcing his own mission. These were his words about himself. Why is he even on the earth? Well, he tells us, he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He came to seek us. He came to save us. And when we think of that word save, we perhaps think of our salvation. And of course, it is that. But what happens is we tend to narrow the definition of salvation. We think, well, I am saved and I have had my sins forgiven and I am going to heaven. And that's where we kind of put our full stop. And salvation is that, and that is wonderful. I'm not minimizing it, but it's not only that. There's more to the package deal of salvation. Salvation is, or that word save is the Greek word sozo. Everyone say sozo. And this is the thing about sozo. Yes, it absolutely means that we are saved from perishing, but it also means that we're saved from suffering. Praise God, amen. You know, the sozo is not just about forgiven of sin, but it's also that Jesus came to deliver us. Jesus came to heal us, body, soul, and spirit. This package deal of salvation is that we would be made whole in every area of our lives, that the broken pieces of our lives can be put back together in Jesus. That is what it means that he saved us. He heals us and makes us whole. Who thinks that's beautiful? You know, this is actually the good news. This is Jesus came preaching the good news that we don't have to go through life feeling broken by life. Jesus is in the business of making people whole. It cost him everything at the cross. It cost Jesus his life. It cost him the shedding of his blood to finish that work, that perfect and precious work that not only saves us, forgives us, but makes us whole. Glory to God. And it's important to say, even if the Lord has done a deep work of wholeness in your life in a previous season of your life, we can't go to sleep on wholeness. There's always more. Do I have an amen? You know, there's always more. The question must always be, regardless of what he might have done in the past, what layer of work of wholeness does the Lord want to do in me right now? What does he want to do? Because this side of eternity will never be perfectly whole. Perfection comes in glory, you know. The truth is we're all still broken people living in a broken world, and broken things happen. And the truth is, if we don't constantly invite the Lord to come and do regular work in our inner lives, it's sort of inevitable that we'll end up accumulating more stuff. You know, hurts will keep on coming. Offenses will keep on coming. So we can't be like set and forget. Like I got whole back in 1999, so I'm pretty much fine. It doesn't work like that. We wish it worked like that, but it doesn't. So we can't see this wholeness area as a one-off event, but it needs to be a culture, not just of the church, but a culture of our lives. So I have an amen. So to dive into these thoughts today, we're going to go to Mark chapter 5. I'll say Mark chapter 5. It's the account where Jesus heals a woman. We don't know her name. We mostly refer to her as the woman with the issue of blood. I'm glad she's not here today because she might get a bit of a complex about that. But we're going to read about her today, starting from verse 24 in the book of Mark 5. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Everyone say 12 years. Who knows, 12 years is a long time. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. And yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Praise God. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciple answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, she came and fell at his feet, and she's trembling with fear, and she told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter," everyone say daughter, "daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Today we're going to look at this text here in Mark chapter 5. We're going to look at it through the lens of wholeness. And I've called this sermon today, I've called it Be Free. Everyone say be free. Be free. Because Jesus said to this woman, he said to her such powerful words. He said, be free from your suffering. And that's what I believe the Lord wants to do with us too. He wants to send us forth in peace and say to you and me today, be free from your suffering. Amen. Because this text goes to great lengths to explain the kind of suffering that this woman had gone through. And although she was suffering with a physical ailment, I see so many parallels between the way she was suffering and the suffering we also go through when there's a lack of wholeness in our inner lives. Where there's no wholeness, people genuinely suffer. It's true. People genuinely suffer with what's going on the inside of their lives. That might manifest very differently in very different people, you know, but whether it's like a brokenness that you carry on the inside of you because of the events of your childhood. Maybe there's like a feeling of rejection, a feeling of abandonment, or you're plagued by that orphan spirit. Maybe you've got a sense of shame or regret for a former season in your life where you wish that things had gone differently, or you made some bad decisions, or maybe there's things that have happened in your life that have broken around you and you had no capacity to fix it or control it or change it. So there's just like a hole in your heart that goes with you. maybe because of a grief you experience, maybe that because of a loss you experience, maybe different thoughts live in your head rent-free. Ever been in that situation where there's like a sense of bombardment, a sense of torment, like memories that replay in your mind like a movie? I have been there. Maybe you have too. Maybe you just feel a bit stuck, a bit hopeless. Like you can't see God, you can't hear God, or whatever it is. These lack of wholeness areas in our inner lives called genuine suffering, like genuine pain for people. And this woman in the text, she suffered a long time. 12 years is actually a long time. And in my experience, both in my own life and in like 20 plus years of pastoring, I've seen people suffer wholeness issues for a long time. Like her issue was this issue of blood, so it's likely to be a cyclical thing, you know, something that went over and around. And isn't that true of the wholeness issues we sometimes experience in our life? Like these long-term cycles. Long-term cycles, like, you know, you manage to suppress the anger thing for a little while, but it rears its ugly head again. You know, you manage to kind of put a lid on that marital dispute for a little while, 6 months since we've had a fight, and then next minute, boom, you know, it's all back. Speaking from experience, talk to Ken Lee about it. I don't know anything. Yeah. But, you know, those patterns of relating that can be unhealthy in our families, unhealthy in our marriages, unhealthy in our relationships, and we just see them over and over again, or traits that you carry and they've been with you so long, you just call it your personality. You say, I just am that. That just is me. Look, it's all incredibly depressing until we remember that this woman actually found freedom from her suffering in Jesus. He said to her, go in peace, woman. Be freed from your suffering. It actually didn't matter how many years. It didn't matter how long. It didn't matter how cyclical. It didn't matter how unhealthy she was. In Jesus, there was freedom for her. And I'm believing in the next few weeks, I want to prophesy it over us that in the next few weeks we will see miracles of freedom from our internal suffering in Jesus' name. Does anybody believe it in the house today? I want that for you. I want that for your life. I want it for your marriage. I want it for your family, that you too hear those words from Jesus, go in peace and be free from what you've experienced or what you're suffering. Amen. And so from her story, we're going to take a few keys that I believe are going to help us as we come into greater wholeness, greater freedom. Who's keen for three keys? Key number one is this, that she chose. Everyone say, she chose. She chose. Let's just make it clear. Nobody forced her into the crowd that day. Nobody took her against her will, kicking and screaming to Jesus. No, that's not how it went. She actually made a choice. And I want to say this to you. Every work of wholeness in your heart is going to begin with a choice. Will I go there or not? Will I look at that thing or will I not? Will I take some personal responsibility or will I not? There is choice involved. When we go back to the woman in the text, there was some aspects to her life where she had no choice and aspects where she had choice. Like the very fact that she had this health condition, that came to her by no choice of her own. That was just an unfortunate reality of her life. But her responses, like what she did next, what she did when she heard that this guy called Jesus was passing by, the decision that she made to push towards him in the crowd that day, those things were absolutely within the realm of her choice and control. And I believe that's a relevant point because some of us experience a lack of wholeness in our heart through no fault of our own. We didn't choose it. We didn't choose the family we were born into. Or give me a wave if you did. You know, we don't choose the family that we're born into or our experiences of childhood. We don't choose the health issues, or we don't choose, you know, the grief that sometimes befalls us through death, through loss. There's often no choice there, and it can feel very unfair. Like just like the woman in the text, we think this suffering has come to me through no fault of my own. But regardless of the things we have no choice over, I want to say we do have choice over what happens next. The woman could have chosen to stay at home that day like she always did. The woman could have chosen to believe that I can never be free. This is an impossibility in my life. But that day, she actually made a different choice. Amen. She chose, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go out of my house and I'm going to touch the cloak of this man that they say is someone or something that they say is the Messiah. I'm going to get up and touch him. And those choices marked the very beginning of her freedom. Very beginning. The text tells us that she thought to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, like the book of Matthew, when it records the same account, it says that she was saying to herself, if only I could touch him, if only, these were the things she was thinking. This was the origins of her self-talk. And then her life went in the direction of those thought choices that she made. Do you know your life, my life, will go in the direction of the thought choices that we make? That's the way life works. If you choose to think, I'm just the victim. If you choose to think, I will never be free. If you choose to perpetually blame everyone and everything else for the issues that are happening inside of you, if you choose to justify, minimize all those sorts of things, then your life will invariably go in the direction of those thought choices. The only problem is that there's probably no wholeness there. There's probably no healing there. But if you want to come into greater wholeness, it starts with making a different thought choice. The self-talk, the self-language actually has to begin to change. And when you make a different thought choice, that's when your life can start traveling in a different direction. When you get up and say, actually, I'm not a victim. Actually, I have some agency. Actually, I'm going to take my power back. I'm going to actually get up and have a look at this, and I'm going to go see someone, and I'm going to push towards Jesus, and I'm going to open up, and those sorts of things. They're the kind of choices that are found at the beginning of your freedom. Amen? Granted, the wholeness choice is never the easy choice. It's not the easy choice. The easy choice is to do what you've always done. The easy choice is to wrap yourself up into the security blanket that you've always wrapped yourself up in. The easy choice for the woman in the text would have been to stay at home and take the path of least resistance. You say, better the devil you know, better the broken things you're familiar with. But I want to say, when we do that, there's no freedom there. Unfortunately, the wholeness choice is always the harder choice, but it's always the choice that bears the fruit of freedom. Do I have an amen? Amen. So if we want to come into wholeness, we're going to have to make some choices. The second key that we learn from this woman is she stopped hiding. Everyone say, stopped hiding. She stopped hiding. This woman was no doubt used to a life of hiding and concealing and masking. Think about it, an issue of blood. It would have been years and years of living with embarrassment and humiliation and shame. And so she would have lived in this isolated sort of way, hiding away. But her breakthrough began when she decided to stop hiding. You know, when she came out into the crowd that day, it actually meant facing the fear. It actually meant facing the shame. It actually meant facing the critical looks of people and the judgment of people and what they might be thinking and saying. But that vulnerability was the catalyst to freedom. It was the beginning of freedom. And I think how many of us, because of a lack of wholeness in our hearts, we're actually hiding in some way, shape, or form. We're actually concealing perhaps the real us. We're afraid if we show people the real us that we would be rejected, afraid if people really knew, then they wouldn't accept, and so on and so forth. Maybe we struggle to let the walls down. Maybe we struggle to be emotionally vulnerable in close relationships. And there's a wall that you continually hit there. You find it hard to commit. Maybe you're cutting people off because you don't want to be vulnerable or so on and so forth, or there's shame because of what's happened, what you're struggling with. Now, I'm not advocating for broadcasting all of your issues on a megaphone. Like, please, don't do that. Don't tell the world. That's not what this is about. But there's a principle that if we're going to come into greater wholeness in these different eras, we have to stop hiding. There has to be a degree of humility and vulnerability and bringing things into the light. And the very first place we need to do that is before God. You need to get honest and you need to get humble before the Lord. Get humble and honest at the feet of Jesus. But also, would you bring these issues to trusted people? Who are the ones in your life who you know love you? Who you know have your best interests at heart? They're going to point you back to Jesus. Who are those people? Maybe it's a leader. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a spiritual parent. Maybe it's a counselor or a psychologist. I don't know. But if you're going to get whole, you're going to have to stop hiding. There's going to have to be a degree of vulnerability where you go to them. You share what it is that you are going through or struggling with. James 5:16. This is scriptural. It says this. Therefore, everyone say, therefore, confess your sins to each other. Another version says, faults to each other, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. How frequently do we quote that last sentence? Look, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And we quote it when we're preaching on prayer and how to be a prayer warrior and how to pull down strongholds. But if you read this in context, the contents is confessing your sins and praying for one another that your healing might come, right? This is a stop hiding scripture. And it doesn't say confess your faults to one another that, you know, for kicks. Because it feels good. Because everybody knows it doesn't. It doesn't say confess your faults to one another that you'd have plenty to gossip about. That is not it. It's so that you might be healed. Pray for one another so you might be healed. The stop hiding, the coming out, the confessing. It's a means to an end. And the end is your wholeness. Amen? The end is your healing. When this woman stopped hiding, she came out of the house of her shame. She came out of that place of her suffering and her pain. And that is when her freedom came. That was the beginning of the end for her suffering. Amen? It's not the easy thing, but it is the fruitful thing. And it is going to take vulnerability, and you can choose not to. That's all right. It's scary. But I want to say, without vulnerability, there's no wholeness. If you want greater wholeness, there has to be moments of vulnerability. It has to be. Jesus, it's been said, Jesus can't heal what you don't reveal. You got to be honest. You got to humble yourself. If you want to stand up and stay in pride, stay behind those walls, go for it. But if you want to come into a greater level of wholeness, there has to be vulnerability. Men, women alike, there has to be vulnerability. Amen. The final key we learn from this woman is that she went to the right source. Everyone say the right source. The right source. Mark 5 and verse 26. It says this. I'm going to read it again. We read it earlier. It says she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. She had spent all she had, and yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. The same account recorded in the Gospel of Luke says that no one could heal her. And so it sort of implies that she'd been to everyone and anyone. She'd been to anyone who would listen to find some sort of relief for her suffering. The text tells us she had spent all her money. So she had invested very deeply into freedom, into relief. But in fact, she got worse, the text tells us. She didn't get better. She got worse. And I think that's such a picture of the areas of our lives where we're indeed suffering a lack of wholeness in our hearts. Don't we go everywhere? We go to anyone, we go to anything, anyone, looking for something or someone that will bring some relief for what we're going on in the inside of us. Sometimes we do so consciously. Sometimes we do so very subconsciously. They think, oh, I just need a break. I just need a holiday. I just need to get away with the guys. I just need to get away with the girls. I just need a drink. I just need to, you know, be left alone to watch some TV, to find my people, find myself, whatever we think. But the thing is, all these places we go, so often we can be just like this woman. We don't get better, we get worse. We maybe find some temporary relief, but we don't find anything lasting that heals our soul. As I reflect on my own life, I see that I was this teenage girl. I was the one that was never single. I was the one that always had a boyfriend. You can laugh at my expense, but Ken Lee for me was a rebound off a rebound. Praise be to God for wholeness. I couldn't stand up and be your senior pastor if the Lord hadn't done a deep work of wholeness in me. He knew what he was doing. The truth is, I didn't have words for it back then. I actually only gained a deep insight into my broken issues once I was in my 30s. But what was actually happening in my teenage and young adult years was that I was looking for some relief from my suffering. I was looking to fill the void of my broken heart. I was going from relationship to relationship to try and heal the sense of rejection that I had and the spirit of rejection that had got on this girl as she was a child and a teenager. The thing is, relationship after relationship, it didn't get better. In fact, it got worse. It got worse until I learned to go to the right source, amen? And in some way, shape, or form, we're all trying to be free from our own suffering. We're all looking for a bit of healing. We're all looking for a bit of wholeness, and we go here and there. But the problem is none of those things, none of the people we go to or the things we go to have the power to deliver, set free, heal, and make whole. If we want to come into a true freedom, we've got to go to the right source, and his name is Jesus Christ, amen? He alone has the full and complete power to heal and make whole. And I'm not minimizing counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists, all those other things. If you feel led to go to those places and do those things, you should do them. The Lord works through them so frequently in our lives. So I advocate for that. Nonetheless, at the end of the day, real and lasting relief comes to us through Jesus Christ. You know, peace and freedom from suffering. That is his specialty. He came to seek and save. He came to seek and sozo. He came to seek and heal. Amen. It's through the power of his shed blood, the power in his name, and the power of Holy Spirit that we can be truly free. Truly, truly free. You can be truly free. I am a living testimony of true freedom in Jesus Christ. Mark 5 and verse 34. Singers and musicians, you can come back and join me. In this moment, in verse 34, Jesus had just felt power go from him. She had just felt power come into her life. The culmination of 12 years of pain and suffering. It was all leading up to this moment. There was a culmination in this moment here at the feet of Jesus Christ. And Mark 5:34, in the NIV version, it says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." But the King James version of the Bible actually puts it a little bit differently. Same scripture, same verse. Verse 34. It says in the King James Version, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Everyone say whole. Oh. The Greek word used there is sozo. Modern translations render that word healed because she was indeed healed of her physical ailment. But the Greek word is sozo. It's more than just healing from a physical ailment. ailment, I believe the physical healing was actually just the beginning of what Jesus did for her there in that moment when he sent her off and said, go in peace, be freed from your suffering. It wasn't just a freedom from external suffering, but it was a freedom from the suffering that she had experienced in her heart as well. That in that encounter with Jesus right there at his feet, for the very first time, she was seen. For the very first time, she was accepted. This woman who was so used to being a rejected outcast. Here's this rabbi, here's this man of stature, seeing her, receiving her, not sending her off, not calling her an outcast, but dignifying her at his feet. She would have felt the burning love in his gaze. As she felt, the scripture records, she felt the power in his touch. She would have felt the authority in his words. Her label up until that point was unclean. But here in this moment, he gave her a new label. He said, daughter. A true identity, an identity of sonship. Yes, this was the moment her bleeding stopped, but I believe this was the moment her whole heart started. Her whole heart began. That's what he wants to do for you. That's what he wants to do for me. We don't have to suffer. Jesus has the power to make people whole. Amen. Sozo is not just for some. It's for all. Jesus paid with his blood. It's the package deal of his salvation. He doesn't just forgive us. He heals us and makes us whole. Amen. Amen. I'm believing for miracles of wholeness across these few weeks. I'm believing that the Lord is going to touch many, many lives. I'm believing that veils are going to be lifted, that keys are going to be distributed, keys, you know, that root causes are going to be identified, that cycles are going to be broken. Does anyone have faith to believe cycles can be broken? I don't care how long you've been suffering. I believe Jesus has the power, amen, to heal us and make us whole.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com. Thank you.